Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 46. We're having a special today. We're honored to have Kenny Lush from Canada on. How you doing, brother? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, now there you go. I can hear you. You heard what I said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there he is, Kenny Lush.
My goodness, hey, man, how you doing?
Thank you
so
much.
No worries. Yeah, no worries, dude.
Man,
so good to talk to you.
Yeah, man, you're getting ready for your big tour, man. I want you to tell us all about that. And you can give us every date you got. We'd love to talk your music, your wrestling, everything, you know. Man, we appreciate it.
Yeah, ask away, and I don't know every tour date because there's a lot of them. So all I know is I'm gone from this point to another point, but I couldn't tell you every town in Europe. They all fucking sound weird and make no sense.
All right, I'm here with my co-host for today. I also am honored to be the co-host of his show, Turnbuckle Turmoil, which we're hoping to have you on someday, maybe after your tour. But other than that,
yeah.
I'm here with Sign Guy. He's so fly. He'll take you to the sky. He'll make you feel high. I don't have to lie. This guy's so good, he might not even have to try. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Doing well, Coach. Thank you. Kenny Lush, good to have you on here. And since it's your first time on Coach's show, I'll throw out the first-timer question to you. How did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Oh, man. I'm kind of out of it, but how I got into it was, I always grew up being a wrestling fan and stuff. My dad and my uncle would always watch a lot of wrestling and shit, and, you know, me just sitting around with them, you know. I'm talking like early Hulk Hogan, like the early WrestleMania days. I remember, like, my dad would bring me to, before there was pay-per-view, there was closed circuit television where they would set up like a movie screen in the arena and you could pay to go see, like, watch WrestleMania live. And I think I know I went to WrestleMania 4 or 5. I think 4. Yeah, WrestleMania 4 was the first one I went to and saw on the closed circuit television screen. Anyway, so I was always a fan, and then I fell out of love a little bit of it. I didn't really watch much wrestling around, you know, the early to mid-90s when it was like, you know, Man Mountain Rock and kind of the, you know, shitty old WWF type stuff. And then when I was in high school, I really fell in love with the Attitude Era stuff, and that got me back into it. And one day at school, I had a class called Career and Personal Planning where, you know, you're supposed to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life, you know, but you're like 16 years old, so that, you know, or 17 or something, and the teacher's like, well, what do you want to do? And I was a bit of a class clown, and I was like, I want to be a pro wrestler. And everyone laughed, and the teacher was like, well, I don't know how to become one. Try to do a report, figure out how to become a pro wrestler. And then, so I did a little report and found out there was wrestling schools and all that stuff. And, yeah, that's how I became a pro wrestler.
Wow, that's quite the story. My goodness, just think about it. A good portion of people probably would have just laughed at you, and the whole class would have laughed and said, that's silly. But she did the right thing and made it where – that's what you should have did, and look what it did. What a success you become, my goodness. So, hey, my next –
yeah.
I have a couple – yeah. So, what were we going to say?
Oh, growing up in a small town, I had a lot of, like, you know, the teachers actually, like, cared about you. Because it was a smaller town, so they know everyone kind of personally out there and stuff. So, yeah, I had a lot of support from my teacher and teachers and stuff. And then also, too, I remember, I shouldn't leave out, I read Mick Foley's book, too, that came out, his first book, and that talked a lot about, like, wrestling schools and stuff, and, you know, so reading that book was a big, like, inspiration for me, too.
Right on, yeah, and, you know, another cool thing about Mick Foley and Jericho's books, man, they're hilarious also, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they're great books, for sure.
Okay, so my first segment that I like to ask people, there's four different parts to it. Who are your heroes growing up? And that means sports, music, wrestling, and then ordinary life. So ordinary life would be first.
Ordinary life is first?
Yes.
Man, as I get older, I think my dad is my hero. You know, he fucking worked his ass. Can I swear or no? I guess I shouldn't swear, but
yeah, I'm PG. I'm PG-13. Yes.
Yeah, my dad. He worked his butt off to, you know, to keep a roof over the family's head and stuff. He was a union iron worker, so you know he would always be out of town for sometimes like 4 or 5 months at a time when I was growing up, like just working out of town just to make sure the, you know, light stayed on and everything and stuff. So, yeah, as I get older now, I kind of look back on the sacrifices my dad made for the family. And, you know, I hope my wife feels the same way when I got to go away for 2 months at a time on tour now to pay the bills. But, yeah, I would say my dad is my hero in everyday normal life.
Okay, and then I know, man, is it a toss-up what you like more, the rock and roll style life or the wrestling life?
Oh, I love the wrestling life, but, you know, age is caught up to me. So.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely got a little bit more opportunity playing the music now and everything, but I definitely, you know, I look fondly back at all my years of pro wrestling and stuff, and I still hope one day I can get one more tour off wrestling-wise. It'd be nice to go back to Japan or something for one more run.
I want to go to Korea with you, brother. My girl's Korean. I've been there 3 times. I love it. And, yes, my dream is to bring wrestling to Korea, and who better to go than you? But, who are your heroes in music?
Oh, my heroes in music. Shit, I'd have to say, I grew up, like, the people that Slash, first of all, Slash from Guns N' Roses was, you know, one of the main reasons why I ever picked up a guitar, just because, you know, he looked pretty cool doing it, so I wanted to look cool. And I still play Gibson Les Pauls just because of Slash, too. And, I'd have to say Slash is up there. Kurt Cobain's up there for, you know, a hero and inspiration. Not a hero by how he ended it all, hero by the way he played. But, you know, Fat Mike from NoFX is another you know, inspiration, just, you know, all the hard work he did and the record label he ran really influenced me and stuff. And yeah, and now I don't really have, now I got more friends than heroes, you know, in the music world. I'm starting to meet a lot of my idols and stuff, so, you know, and hanging out with them and touring with them and stuff. So, yeah, so it's great.
What a dream come true, and you have lived most of your dreams, I'm sure, right? Not all
of
them.
Yeah, trying to. No, yeah, and the problem is once you reach a dream, you make a new dream. So I'm never happy.
Exactly.
I always want to keep keep moving forward.
Exactly. So who are your heroes in sports?
Oh man, you know what? I was never much of a sports guy. Like, pro wrestling to me is my sport. So
okay, and then what about your heroes in wrestling?
Oh, Mick Foley's up there, Terry Funk, Bret Hart, Leatherface, Rick Patterson, Leatherface. He's one of my best friends, but he's also a good mentor and, you know, best tag partner I ever had. And, you know, he's helped open some doors for me and stuff when I was wrestling. So he's up there. He's on my favorite top wrestlers of all time list for sure.
All right. Yes. And then, so you weren't much of a sports fan, but did you play sports in high school or growing up?
No, I was like a drama kid. They tried to get me to play rugby, and I was like, I don't want to hang out with the jocks. Fuck those guys. Like, you know, so, you know, because growing up through high school, I was a punk rocker. So I was like, I don't want to hang out with the jocks and all that stuff. So, yeah, I was more of in the drama club and that type of stuff.
And my goodness, you've really achieved in all areas, the mixed martial arts world, pro wrestling, and the music world. My goodness, you're multi-talented. And we're excited to hear about your self-defense background. We know that you've had some world championships, or you've won. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so when my first band ended, they were called Dagger Mouth, and when they ended in early 2009 or something like that, I wanted to get back into pro wrestling, so I did that. And just to kind of offset my training, like to, you know, for my training and my conditioning and stuff, I went into catch wrestling. I found a catch wrestling instructor. So, you know, you're from Washington State, I believe. Like, you know, one of the main catch wrestlers is Josh Barnett. He's from there. And, but yeah, there was a catch wrestling club up in Vancouver here, and I started training there and entering competitions and stuff. And yeah, I did pretty well. I won 4 or 5 no-gi heavyweight jiu-jitsu tournaments with my catch wrestling. And yeah, I had one kind of weird amateur rules MMA fight in Japan that I won. So it was weird. It was like you weren't allowed to strike to the head, but you were allowed to strike to the body. But once it went on the ground, it was grappling only. So that was kind of the rules of the fight, and I won that one. So, yeah, I won that one, and I also won the grappling tournament. That was earlier that day, too. So, yeah, that was a pretty successful day for me.
Very cool, yes. And then let's see. What do you got coming up?
Ooh, this Friday, the one band I play in, the Real McKenzies, we are headlining a sold-out show for the Punk Rock Bowling Festival that's in Las Vegas. So we're playing Friday night. And so I'm flying in Friday and flying home Saturday for that. And then a couple days later, my other band flies out to Alberta. We're doing 3 or 4 shows with Wagwagon. And then I get back from that, and then a few days later, the Real McKenzies go down the West Coast for 2 weeks to San Diego and back, and then I'm home for 2 weeks, and then we got three shows in early July in Quebec. And then I come home for 2 weeks. And then the last weekend of July, I head off to with the Real Mackenzies to Europe for 5 weeks.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then I hope,
goodness.
Yeah, and then I hope that's it for the rest of the year.
And then you didn't mention the name of your other band, you said.
Oh, Rest Easy.
Rest Easy, okay. All right, well, right now I'm going to give you over to my co-host. This guy, he might be better than baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie, Stein Guy.
Stein Guy.
Thank you, Coach. Well, Mr. Lush, I know in your time of professional wrestling, it was a little bit different scene than we have right now. There wasn't as many opportunities for wrestlers in the Pacific Northwest, British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, compared to today. Do you think if you were breaking in today, you would have had an easier time achieving success, or do you think you broke in at the perfect time for you?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's always a hard one to see. I'm really stoked on the scene in the Pacific Northwest right now. Like, you know, you got guys like, you know, Matt Farmer with Defy, and Defy's just killing it. Like, they're doing so good. You got Big Willie with Prestige Wrestling. Prestige is doing so well, too. There's a couple, you know, good companies kicking up around BC, like that NEW, and my buddy Steve runs the rickshaw doing his wrestling, and I think he's, I don't know what he calls it, Ruffle Corps or something like that, but yeah, it's so nice there's so many companies. I don't know, it's hard to say, like, I don't want to, you know, maybe I can't, like, maybe it'd be easier to come up nowadays with all the stuff, but there's just so many people wrestling now too, I find, right? Like, there's so many companies, which is great, but there's also so many wrestlers, you know? Like, it seems like every city has, like, 70 pro wrestlers living in it now. So, you know, so yeah, I think nowadays you'd have to be really good. But I don't know. I would say... it's so hard to say, but I don't know. I like the era I came up in, you know what I mean?
For sure.
It was, you know, like, I got to meet Billy Two Eagles. Like, you can't, none of these kids nowadays are going to meet a guy like Billy Two Eagles. You know what I mean?
Yes, I debuted against Billy Two Eagles. I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, you try to tell these kids the Billy Two Eagle stories, and they're just like, I don't even think they think it's real half the time, but, you know, guys like Billy Two Eagles and Smart Mark Sawyer, and, you know, I got to work for Roddy Piper a little bit out that way and stuff, so, you know, it'd be nice to pop up now and, you know, try to get on AEW or something, but, like, I don't know. I did some ROH stuff, and I got to travel around. I'm really proud of what I did, so I can't hate on when I started.
As someone that did travel quite a bit, and you got to work not only in Canada but the United States, as someone that's been to different places, what would you give as far as advice to someone that is just starting out in wrestling that wants to travel and be successful outside of their home area?
First of all, I would say, you know, be nice, it's a lot easier for someone to give someone who's nice a shot than someone who's not, you know. So be nice, always, you know, make contacts, always show up. You know, if you're green, you know, and it's your first year in the business, fucking show up all the time, set the ring up and take it down. I know it sucks, but, you know, you move a couple boards, you know, the promoter or the people, you know, they'll take notice of that, and that'll really help you out. You know, It's hard to say what to do as far as, like, traveling because, you know, the way I was raised was, like, you know, never do the shit for free, like never pay your way, you know what I mean? And I think that's maybe changed a little bit, but, you know, I would say don't pay your way to Japan, don't, you know, but just work hard and, you know, opportunity. If you're a good guy and a good person and good work ethic, I think, you know, opportunity will always find you, you know?
Yeah.
Just be humble.
Very good advice. We have a game that we play. Coach loves this game. I will start it out for you. We call it word association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for some word association?
Sure.
All right. First name out of the hat, Casey Spinelli.
Amazing person. She's such a nice person. She's worked really hard, and I remember when she first showed up in Vancouver, like, people were so mean to her and everything, and she ended up, she has a great career, in my opinion. You know, I think, I know this is going on way along one word, but, you know, just sweetheart is the word I've used for her, and she's very talented, and any of the major companies would be lucky to have her.
Torch.
Oh, rest in peace. Such a nice guy. One of the nicest, like, when you're breaking into the business, he was such a nice, nice guy. If I had to choose one word, I would just, you know, he was a gentleman.
Fabio.
Oh, the Itai, the Italian. Fuck, I haven't talked to Fabio in years now. But yeah, another guy, another old timer that helped me out. He was also a great guy. I gotta give that guy a call. I hope his phone number hasn't changed.
Diamond Timothy Flowers.
Oh man. Let me see. The word I would choose for Diamond Timothy Flowers, if I had to choose one word, and I like the guy, but my one word would be angry.
Christopher Ryzik.
I like Ryzik too. Trying to pick one word to describe him. Tanning lotion would be the word that I choose to pick for Ryzik. He's always tanned. He needs to stick with one of these girls that's managing him, though, and just put a ring on it. Every 2 minutes I turn on Facebook, he has a new manager.
Ladies' choice.
Oh, brother, that guy. Old school is the word I would choose for the good old LC. But that's a great guy. I'll still run into him once in a while, usually in a bar or a comedy club or something. But that guy's awesome. He's a guy that more people should watch, especially locally in BC, because he knows how to work and not kill himself. And he's always over.
Vern Siebert.
Cheap? He's a very cheap man, but he's a good guy.
Ethan HD.
Yeah, he is cheap.
I have a while along. Ethan HD.
Ethan HD. Hold on a second. I think you missed Ethan HD.
Ethan, now there's a guy who, I love it, Ethan. He is a heart of gold. I would also use sweetheart with him. He is a very compassionate guy. He's very talented. You know, I definitely think he's one of the best wrestlers in the Northwest. Maybe not now because we're getting old, but if I was a kid training in Washington, I would be at his comic book store picking his brain and annoying the hell out of him every day because he's a very talented dude.
Jason Sullivan.
Also, he's a teddy bear. I would say teddy bear because he's a giant monster and also one of the nicest guys.
Cole Bishop.
Not as much of a monster, but also a nice guy. Bishop is very underrated. He has low, and I'll say this publicly, I also haven't talked to him in a couple of years. Stop barking. So that's my chihuahua. But Cole is an amazing wrestler, and he's very talented, and I don't think he sees that in himself, but looking back on my career, I wish I got to have, like, a long program with him because some of my favorite matches in BC were actually against him.
El Fantasmo.
Cocky. He's a very cocky man, but, you know, he walked the walk and he talked the talk, and now look where he is. He's killing it, and I'm very proud of him. He's also a guy I really like to wrestle. Me and him had very different styles, but we were both very charismatic, and I think the few matches we had were very good, and I'm very happy with all, like, how his career is going and all the opportunity he's had. And, you know, it's just a shame for him to get noticed like that. At that period, he had to move away to the UK, to the, you know, to the British wrestling scene. But I think if he was around now, he wouldn't have to move so far away. You know what I mean? Like, if Defy was kicking around, then he would have stole the show after night one and got a big name. But either way, that's the path he took, and I'm very proud of him for doing it.
Final name, Nicole Matthews.
Nicole Matthews. She's also another great women's wrestler. She's kind of becoming like a leader behind the scenes here and everything, and she's doing a great job training a lot of the girls that are coming up and stuff. So, you know, I would just say leader. She's a great leader.
I got one for you. Sign Guy's favorite wrestler of all time, Casey Carlisle.
I don't even know who that is.
Okay, she's a women's wrestler. I'm not sure if you've been on shows with her. Probably not.
No, I don't think
all right.
So.
Sign's got a couple more minutes there.
Well, as you know, coming down to the United States and for Americans going up into Canada would sometimes present issues at the border for independent wrestlers. Did you personally ever have many issues when you were traveling internationally?
No, like, I know the deals with, like, when I go with bands and stuff, I always have, work, like the P2 work visas and stuff like that. But, the only time I ever really got hassled was getting on a plane when I was going to Japan for my first time wrestling. And, you know, I was wearing a suit because I wanted to look nice for, you know, the head honchos when I got off the plane in Japan and everything and look respectable. But as I was getting on the plane in Vancouver, they stopped me from getting on. I guess I looked like a gang member or something like that, all dressed up nice and everything. And they asked me, you know, why I was heading to Japan and dressed so nice. So I explained how I'm wrestling and everything. And they looked at me and they go, you know, you're not allowed to transport over $10,000 between countries. And I looked at him and I said, I wouldn't be going to Japan to get paid $300 and get hit in the head with chairs and fucking razor blade my forehead open if I had $10,000. I'd just be sitting on my couch. And then they kind of laughed and let me on the flight.
Wow.
Now, flying is something that has changed a lot of careers in wrestling. A lot of people now have more opportunities going to foreign countries than they did 15 or 20 years ago. We've seen more independent wrestlers get tours of Japan, tours in Europe. South America has opened up a little bit. So people are flying to more locations than they used to. They can wrestle outside of their home areas on a more regular basis, it seems. Do you think that having the opportunity to fly to these different areas and fly to foreign countries to wrestle has improved independent wrestling? Or do you think that staying locally and wrestling repeatedly in the same places on a regular basis is what makes independent a little bit better?
Oh, I'm always a fan of, you know, not even just for your wrestling career, but I think it's great to travel just for your, you know, everyday knowledge and, you know, just for yourself personally. You got to get out there and see the world, you know?
Definitely. I would agree with that. Well, I think I will.
There's a lot of wrestlers that could have, you know, I think maybe done a lot more if they left their small bubble. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't want to name names, but, you know, there were some very talented local guys around here, and, you know, they just didn't want to, you know, they liked being the big fish in the small pond, and, you know, they never got away anywhere, and I think that really hurt their careers.
Well, I will pass you back over now to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones. Thanks so much.
Yeah, good talking to you, Sidehouse.
Hey, Ken, so the next segment's called Memorable Matches. So first of all, of course, I want to know the most memorable matches you've been in, but first tell us about the most memorable matches you've seen. Seen.
Oh, probably the most memorable match I've ever seen would have been the match that made me go, okay, I got to be a pro wrestler, is when I saw Mick Foley get tossed off the Hell in the Cell and then come back out, climb the cell. Like, that to me is like a moment that I'll always remember.
Okay. Any others that we should look up? Which most people know that one, but.
I was always a fan of, like, Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart had some good matches. It's just escaping my mind. I can't really remember.
Okay, that's fine. And we can go back to it. We got a little time. How much time do you got? Another half hour, hopefully?
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you. Okay, so now the most memorable matches you've been in or been involved with?
Winning the tag titles in Korea in front of 10,000 people with Leatherface, that was probably top of my list. Wrestling Dalton Castle from Ring of Honor, that was always one of my favorite matches. One of my favorite matches, and it sucks how everything went down with his career, but Joey Ryan. I had a couple great matches with Joey Ryan. And, you know, I really like those. Other than that, winning the Pacific Cup tournament, that one-night tournament that ECCW used to do, I won that years ago, and that was probably one of my proudest moments in wrestling, too, just having, like, three good matches in one night. And, you know, I wrestled Davey Richards, then Cole Bishop, and then El Fantasmo. All in one night.
Wow, some of the best, yes. My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, man, I really love Korea. I've made cut a promo over there before, you know, and then I'm hoping to bring wrestling there someday. But let us know about wrestling in Korea and then who got you over there and a little bit about that experience.
That was just Leatherface, Rick Patterson. He, I guess they just were looking for a couple new guys to bring over, and he hit me up. And I remember when he hit me up because I was actually at the moment doing the 2009 Harley race camp. So I was out in Eldon, Missouri, doing the Harley race camp, and I got that email from Leatherface saying, hey, send me some pictures. They might need some guys. And, you know, next thing you know, he set us in, and I sent some more promo pictures off. And about 2 days before I left, the airplane flight showed up in my email. And, yeah, that was that was about it. But, yeah, it was really cool to go over there because, you know, you see all the wrestling in Japan, and it's huge over there, right? But it's not that big in Korea, which is really weird because Ricky Dozan was a Korean guy, right? The guy that kind of started Japanese pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So,
my girl says what happened over there was one of the big wrestlers when it was really huge, I think it was the 60s or 70s, exposed wrestling as being fake. And then the country didn't take it serious anymore compared to, like, Japan, where it's like a religion.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Yeah, I never heard that, but that could be it. Yeah. Like, because you'd figure, like, with all the, you know, entertainment and everything that's going on in Seoul right now, like, it could be a huge opportunity over there. Like, I know.
Exactly, yes.
Like, Lee Wang Pio just passed away a couple years ago, and I think that really hurt what was kind of going on with the rest of the industry over there.
And another thing I got going for me on that, that's my girlfriend's hometown. So
really?
I definitely want to bring wrestling back to that town, you know? And Minho Kim?
Yeah, Kim Min-ho, yeah, he's kind of the guy running WWA now, I think, whereas, yeah, like, when I started going over there, he was just a young boy, but he was always jacked and looked a million bucks. I always thought he should have sent some stuff into NXT or something, because he looked like $1 million.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to have to get a hold of him. Okay, you mentioned a couple of names that we need to go over these names again, man. Let's go over Smart Bart and Ladies' Choice. Not only did they have all the categories you need to be successful in wrestling, they were cool, awesome people that were badass people with their personality, and they were so funny, right?
Yeah. I don't remember. I didn't talk much with Smart Bart just because I was so young, and I kind of stayed off to the sides, just, you know, trying to just learn as much as I can in the locker room, you know, just shut up and take everything in. But, I just read, like, Smart Bart Sawyer was, like, he was a wrestler. Like, you just look at him, and he looked like an old-school wrestler. And then you got LC, and that guy's just, he's amazing. He's so funny.
Now, you've seen him at the comedy clubs. Was he performing or what?
Yeah, he's doing some stand-up comedy, and I think he's doing some acting. Sometimes you know, I know he was in a commercial a couple years ago that was really funny, and
okay.
I don't think it aired out of the States, but, you know, it was one of those, like, he was a guy that was stuck in the 80s, driving around in a Camaro or something like that, and it was a pretty funny commercial, I remember, but, yeah, he was a guy, he got it, you know, like, didn't have to kill himself to get over, you know, which is how all the kids should want to be, you know what I mean? It's cool to do the crazy stuff, but it's also cool to not hurt 20 years later.
Yes, we definitely. And then, hey, some of your most memorable matches I've seen, your feud you had with Awesome Adam was off the charts.
Oh, man, that was kind of like a weird, like, you know, because that guy just popped up out of nowhere. Like, I don't know where he came from, and I don't know where he is now, but I don't even think he was trained. And they, you know, they wanted to put me in the ring with him because, you know, we both kind of did crazy shit, right? But, you know, this guy was like, I remember in Cloverdale, I think it was, I had to, like, the guy was just, like, being a fucking mark in the back and, you know, just, like, trying to tell me Sabu stole his gear off him or some shit like that. And, you know, he's just some fat fucking backyarder. So I remember I had to, like, put a shoot armbar on him pretty quick in a match. You know, this is back in, like, 2000, 2001 or something like that. But, yeah,
no,
he was... Yeah, you know, but yeah, we put each other through some tables and shit.
Okay. And then I got to be blessed to be on the, it was basically like the tour down the coast or something. You versus the Bomber that tore up every place you wrestled at. I got to be on, I don't know, four, five, six of those shows.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of those. I think it started off with, I don't know. Like, I know we did that big show for Piper in Eugene, Oregon that had, like, Valentine on it, and Dan Severn, and Mr. Perfect was there, Kurt Henning, and that. So we opened that show, and that was awesome. And then, I know we did a bunch of stuff for Johnny Fairplay, too. It was a good – we had a good little feud. We even had some good matches. Even up to a couple years ago.
Sweet. Okay. And then, now let me see. Who are your favorite people to work with? And that can be in wrestling and in music. We're excited to hear.
My dogs are growling in the background. They're having a little chihuahua battle. My favorite guys for wrestling? I always like wrestling one of the guys that trained me. That's Rocket Randy Tyler. I always have great matches with him. Who else? Kyle O'Reilly was always awesome to wrestle. I had some good ones with him. Favorite people to work for would be, you know, I did a little bit of, like, nothing major or anything. I did some, like, dark matches and shit for Ring of Honor, and it, you know, that was always a fun time to hang out around there. Yeah, Dalton Castle was a great guy. One guy who was really nice to me when I was down doing the Ring of Honor stuff, and that was the Briscoe brothers were always really nice to me. So it was really sad when the one guy got into a car accident and passed away, because, you know, they were big stars, you know, especially in Ring of Honor. And, like, they always took their time to say hi to, like, the jabronis like me and shit, right? So, you know, I always give a shout-out to the Briscoe brothers. They were great guys. You know, Rocky Romero is another guy that I can't say anything bad against. He was a really nice dude. And even one of the last times me and my wife were in Japan, he got us New Japan tickets and took us out to dinner and stuff. So, you know, for a guy to do that to – you know, someone like me, just goes to show how nice of a dude he is. You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely. Okay, and you've wrestled some of the toughest and best wrestlers in the world. Who are some of the toughest wrestlers you've wrestled?
Pure strength? Bob Sapp probably would. I've been in the ring once or twice in Korea with Bob Sapp, and that's always been exciting. If you don't know who Bob Sapp is, go look his name up right
now. Yes, my goodness. Most people would not sign up for that.
No. But he's also, like, he was such a nice guy. He was awesome. That guy's like an encyclopedia of knowledge just about everything.
Wow,
like, he's a very smart guy. Yeah, people have no idea how smart that guy is.
Okay, wow.
But, who else? Like, Kyle O'Reilly for, you know, not being the biggest boy in the room. That guy's tough. That guy's a, you know, legitimate shooter. So he always has good matches and stuff like that.
Watching his matches, you sure can tell. Yes.
Yeah, another guy I should give props out to. Another guy who is probably one that toughest guys, and, you know, kind of did the Kurt Angle thing. He could have probably went into MMA and destroyed that. But instead he went to pro wrestling. But Jeff Cobb, I don't know if you know Jeff Cobb, but he's working for New Japan now. And he's awesome. He's, you know, another guy that's super sweetheart, but just so strong. Like, I've never been – he lifted me. I thought he was going to give me, like, a top rope suplex. Next thing you know, he just picks me up on top rope and just stalls me there for about 40 seconds, it felt like. just holding me. And I've never been a light guy. Like, even when I wrestled, I was around 260.
Yeah, so – hey, what suggestions do you have for people wanting to get into the business?
Man, I hate to be that guy, but stay in school while you get into the business. You know, like, not that I did, but my fallback plan was playing punk rock, and I'm glad that kind of helped. But, you know, stay in school. You know, like, I remember telling, I don't want to name the guy, but... you know, there was a local wrestler here who had, you know, dreams of going to the WWE and all that stuff. And I was like, dude, you don't even have your grade 12. Like, you think Vince is going to hire someone that doesn't even have a high school education? Like, you know, you couldn't even finish school. So what makes you think, like, high school is so freaking easy? You know, you think WWE is going to be easier than high school? Like, come on. So,
goodness.
You know,
yeah,
I say
yeah.
Stay in school and, you know, stay in school and, you know, keep your options wide open. You know what I mean? Like pro wrestling has led me to, like, stunt work for the movies. It's, you know, I use stuff I learned in pro wrestling, just like how to work a crowd and stuff. I do that on stage with a guitar now. You know what I mean? Like, I can look out and find, you know, make eye contact with someone in the crowd while I'm playing guitar and, you know, get them into it, you know, same as when, you know, someone puts a headlock on me and it's time for a hope spot and I'll look at that one guy and get him cheering, you know, like, you know, just, you know, keep your options open. Don't make enemies, which I wasn't always the best at. I got some enemies out there, but I'll talk some shit if I have to, but, but I don't know. Yeah. Just be humble. You know, don't, you know, don't forget, like, you know, I would definitely say if you're getting into pro wrestling, especially nowadays with how popular MMA is, and I'd say, like, you know, do 2 days, like, you don't have to go into the ring and bump 5 days a week. Do it two or three and go do some kickboxing and some MMA and some jiu-jitsu
yeah.
and stuff, right? Like, learn that stuff too. It's great for your conditioning, and it's also, you know, it's also good to know how to actually back yourself up if in case something ever does happen in the ring, you know?
Yes, for sure, you know. And then, hey, let's talk a little bit about music. My goodness, you've been in many bands. Some of the most notable ones, you started out in the Retreads, then you were in Daggermouth. And then now you mentioned two other bands.
Yeah. So, Daggermouth was like my main band. That was kind of why I had to quit wrestling early on in the 2000s because, you know, I trained in 99. I started wrestling, you know, late 99, 2000. And that was, you know, my first matches were going down working for the Cafores or whatever in Portland there. I would drive down with Mike Roselli and Randy Tyler and they would get me booked up and stuff like that. But yeah, this band Daggermouth I started to really busy and everything. So I basically had to, you know, put wrestling on a hold for a few years while I did that band. And then we broke up in 2000 and late 2008, early 2009. I guess it would have been late 2008 we broke up just because, you know, it sucked. We were about to go to Europe. We had a bunch of tours lined up. We were on our way to New York. When we got to New York, we were going to talk to Pete Wentz from that band Fallout Boys because he was interested in signing us to his label and all that stuff. But, you know, that's the thing about being in a band is, you know, you got to depend on four or five other guys, whereas, like, when the band broke up, I was like, man, I'm going straight back to wrestling. Like, I can't depend on other people anymore. Like, you know, I want to if I want a tour, I'll just go on a wrestling tour myself. You know what I mean? I'm tired of listening to four or five other guys whine and all that stuff. So, yeah. But, yeah, then I did the Dagger Mouse stuff till, yeah, like 2008, 2009, and then did the pro wrestling stuff. And then kind of right before the pandemic, I was running a wrestling company called WPW, and then the city got mad because I didn't have the right permits, and I think someone stooged me off to the city, you know, trying to shut my shows down. I don't want to name names, but, you know, you probably put two and two together, and you know, one of the local companies wasn't happy that I was doing really well, but you know, so that happened, and at the same time, Dagger Mouth got offered a bunch of, you know, some reunion shows and stuff like that. So I was just kind of like, you know, I felt pretty defeated once the, you know, the wrestling company I was doing went under, and you know, I was also, you know, I was also banged up and I was ready for a break, you know what I mean? So I, yeah, did the Dagger Mouth reunion, which led into, like, that, you know, we did some fun shows and stuff and got to go to Japan to play and Newfoundland, and, you know, got to go to Europe and stuff and play. So that was great. But, you know, I think during that reunion, I think we kind of realized why we broke up in the first place. So we decided to, you know, not do any more shows. So then I started up another band with a guy I've been talking with forever who used to play in a band called Shook Ones. And, you know, we decided to start writing some tunes, and that turned into Rest Easy. And then, you know, we had some good steam going, and then the pandemic hit right before we could play a show or anything. Right. So, you know, we just focused on writing an album and getting that out. And in the meantime, in between all that, I got asked to join the Real McKenzies, who have been around for 30 years. And be their new guitar player. So I hopped on that chance just because I know they, you know, they tour Europe a couple times a year. And, you know, the shows are always, like, crazy. Like, I'm opening for Iron Maiden in front of 90,000 people this August, right?
Goodness.
So I'm pretty.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you about some of the big bands you've worked with.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, you know, last summer I was over there and playing with the Descendants, who's like they're like a legendary punk band. You know, recently, you know, last September, Rest Easy shared a stage with Face to Face. We shared a stage with NOFX. You know, Strung Out, like all the California punk bands that I really love, right? So it's
okay.
Awesome to get to meet those guys and everything. And yeah, and then now coming up, we're playing a bunch of like metal festivals. We're playing with like Sepultura and Iron Maiden and Creator.
Dang, man, you guys get to sell some good merchandise at those too, right? I would imagine.
Oh, being in a band is just like being a wrestler, man. All the money, the main money comes from the T-shirt sales, so you got to work that gimmick table no matter what, right?
Yeah, okay. All right, my next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure sign guys
okay.
and fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
My favorite coffee?
Yes.
Ooh. Normally, I would just do like an Americano with a little bit of Splenda and some milk. But lately I've been having some, because it's been so hot here, I've been having like, my wife gets me these iced mochas with like coconut milk or something in them, and they're really good.
Okay, what's your favorite concerts you've seen?
Ooh. The Cure. I saw The Cure outdoors a couple years ago, and that was awesome. You know, Guns N' Roses, on this last reunion tour they were doing, they came to Vancouver, and I saw that, and they played like 3.5 hours. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know, just as a kid, too, there were so many, like, little small DIY shows that, you know, just community hall shows that I got to see. And I got to see a lot of bands that are, you know, maybe not big to a lot of people, but they've gotten bigger, you know. Like, I've seen, you know, I saw the Get Up Kids in front of 200 people in a small hall once, and now, you know, now they're a pretty big band. And, you know, I got to see a lot of, like, you know, there's a band from Seattle right now who's doing a reunion tour, and tickets are like $50, but I got to see them for $5 back in the day in their prime, and they're called Botch, and they're a Seattle band. They were awesome. Yeah, I've just seen so many concerts. I don't know if I don't think I mentioned it. I saw Elton John in Las Vegas. That was really good.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, it's amazing. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Nice. And then, okay, excuse me, keep going.
And coming up, I'm seeing Blink 182 in a couple weeks. So I think that might take my favorite concert ever, maybe.
Nice.
You know. Yeah, seeing them with Tom DeLonge again is going to be awesome.
Okay, it's still on my list, even though you mentioned before you really haven't been into sports, but have you had any favorite sports teams?
Man, not really. When I was growing up, I was a really big fan of John McEnroe, you know, and Andre Agassi. Andre Agassi was my favorite tennis player. So, but, you know, I liked tennis when I was a kid.
Okay.
But, you know, I'll go watch some Canucks games here. Like, usually I get free tickets to a Canucks game once or twice a year through a friend. And, you know, I'll go watch that. But, you know, I've just never been like a diehard, you know, sports fan. Like, I know down there in the States, you guys, like, you know, some of these, like, university football teams are drawing like 50,000 people houses, you know?
Yeah,
that just blows my mind. Like, but I've never been much of a sports dude. Like, you know, like if I'm watching anything that's a sport nowadays, it's probably UFC. You know, I'll watch
okay,
that. I'll
yeah,
watch.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
All right. So, who are some up and comers to watch in wrestling and music?
Ooh. First, we'll start with music. Well, check out my band, Rest Easy. There's also a great band from, if you haven't heard of them, they're not new or anything, but Broadway Calls from Rainier, Oregon. Or is Rainier, Washington?
Okay, yeah, there's Rainier, Washington. There's probably one in Oregon, too, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's Rainier, Washington. They actually live in Longview, kind of. Most of them live in Longview, Washington, but in Castle Rock area. But, you know, so Broadway Calls. There's a really good band I'm stoked on right now from Edmonton. They're called Homefront, and it's kind of like Oi music mixed with kind of electronic, kind of like the Cure, Joy Division type stuff. They're really good. They're called Homefront. So there are three bands for people to study.
Okay.
And as far as
wrestling.
The one guy that makes me want to go back to the gym and have one more match, I would love to get it if I could. And I know I could do, you know, if I knew I was in shape and had one more match in me, I'd love to wrestle Nick Wayne.
Okay,
Buddy Wayne's kid, like, he's killing it. He's going
to
be a huge star.
I'm going to
have
to get that book. That's a goal.
Well, I'd have to go to the gym for quite a while first. I'm so out of shape now. But, Nick Wayne,
okay,
awesome. Another guy, you know, if any promoters are listening to this, Fergie. I don't know what he goes like, Mr. Ferguson or Fergie or, you know, but he's really good. I think he might be the NEW champion out here right now in Vancouver, but he's good. And I always knew he was a, you know, nice nice guy, and I actually took him on his first tour of Japan. I brought him out to Hokkaido when I was I did like a little 3-week tour out there and got him booked with me, and you know, that was a great time. And you know, he's a great wrestler. Who else is out there? There's that Travis Williams kid that seems to be doing pretty good. Judas Icarus is another guy out here that you know, is young and up and coming. And yeah, I can't think of anyone else off the.
Okay,
you know,
that's good. That's good. That's a nice
list, Tyler. Yeah,
our fans are always looking for people to look up. Yes, definitely, and other promoters. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay. So what schools would you suggest?
Oh, man, I don't even. I think Tony Baroni has a school out here. Tony Baroni and Artemis Spencer. You know, if you're looking one. You know, I don't know what's much for school. Like, I would say if you're in Vancouver or BC, like, hit up Tony Baroni and Artemis Spencer and Nicole Matthews because they got a school. If you're in the, you know, Washington State area, I would say hit up Ethan HD and see what he'd recommend, because I know Buddy Wayne was training people, and all those guys Buddy Wayne trained were all good dudes and all knew their,
goodness,
you know, fundamentals really well and stuff. And, you know, so I'd hit up Ethan HD or, you know, one of Buddy Wayne's guys there and see if they train up. And other than that, I really like, I spent a bit of time out in, I don't know, somewhere in Philadelphia or New Jersey. All those states are so close together, but, there was the Monster Factory. This guy Danny runs the Monster Factory out there, and
yeah.
I know that's where like Matt Riddle trained there, and you know, his spot. If I was to do it all over again, I would just save up enough money to go live out there for four months or 3 months, whatever you can do in the States, and I would just go train there at the Monster Factories. You know, the they had a gym, they had two rings, they had amateur wrestling mats everywhere. The setup there was amazing. So, you know, that's what I'd recommend if you're on the East Coast.
Okay, nice. And then, yes, we've got about 5 minutes left, it looks like. But I want to give time for you to talk about your band. And then, like, let us know about how many albums you've done and some of your top songs that people can look up.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, Dagger Mouth had two albums that we put out. One was Turf Wars, and Turf Wars was the second album, and the first one was called Stallone. And all this stuff's available online and, you know, on Spotify and all that stuff, too. Rest Easy just had an album. We put out a 7-inch, like a EP, I guess the kids call them now or whatever, like a 45 record. We put one of those out during the pandemic, and then our full-length just came out in October, and it's called Hope You're Okay. And you know, you could type in Rest Easy, find our music videos on you know, the YouTube and stuff, and we're on Spotify, all that stuff's on Spotify. And then and then the Real McKenzies, I haven't written an album or recorded with them yet, but they have like 12 albums out or something crazy, 9 albums. They've been around for, you know, 30 years, right? So they got a whole bunch of stuff out online. They even have they just used a McKenzie song last year for a Ford commercial out in Australia and stuff like that. So it's, check out.
Awesome.
Check out Rest Easy. If I had to choose one, I'd say check out Rest Easy, since it's kind of my new baby.
Okay. And then, I'm going to give you back to Sign Guy for a minute.
Sure.
Well, obviously, you keep busy with the music, and I know you have a little bit of a passing look at wrestling as well, staying somewhat up to date. In all the times you've watched or been in the wrestling business, have you ever seen a time where there was so much wrestling out there. We have all the national companies like Ring of Honor, Impact, AEW, WWE, but then you have so many big independent promotions that with streaming services and YouTube and so forth, fans anywhere can keep up with an independent company. It's just not the local fans that go to the arena anymore. It's being seen by countless people on the streaming services. Have you ever seen an era where wrestling as a entity was able to be seen by so many people at every level of it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I thought, you know, like 8 years ago or something like that, I was like, oh, man, it's going to burst. Like, the bubble's going to burst. Everyone's sick of it. But it just seems like it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, like, I would have never thought, you know, a company like AEW could be, you know, putting WWE on the ropes even, you know what I mean? Like, I thought, you know, there would never be another WCW-type, you know, company that could rival WWE and all that. It's a great time. Like, you know, in the back of my mind, I still think, oh, people are going to get sick of it if there's too much. You know, there's too much. But, you know, people are watching. And I think a lot of it, too, is, like, it's the best bang for your buck. You know what I mean? Like, what's it cost to go see a movie nowadays for, like, an hour and a half? It's, like, $25. You can go to wrestling and be entertained for 3 hours, you know, for probably less money.
Very true.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
How would fans be able to reach you if they have an interest in keeping tabs on what you're doing?
I am on the Instagram and on the Twitter at Kenneth A. Lush.
All right, nice, man. Thank you so much, brother. We're so grateful
to
have you on.
Good to chat with you again after all these years.
Yes, and then I'd love to get you on Turnbuckle Turmoil Sign Guys show. And so, you know, maybe later in the year.
Yeah, like starting this weekend, my life's fucking complete chaos till about September. So I don't have much booked in September yet. So other than that,
cool.
I'm pretty booked up. Yeah, let's aim for it in the fall.
All right, nice, man. We wish you all the luck in the world. We wish you safe travels. And, man, just we're so grateful. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Or as we should say, kamsahamnida.
Exactly.
That's Korean for thank you, in case no one knows.
Exactly. Wanjinan, that is perfect.
Yeah, thanks again, man.
All right.
It was good talking to you guys.
You're welcome, brother. The one and only Kenny Rush. Make sure you guys check him out online and on YouTube and on his tour. My goodness, don't miss it. I can't wait to see it myself. I'm going to have to check out what the closest shows to my town and go check it out. All right, sign guys.
Yeah, we are coming through. We're coming through Washington and Seattle in a couple weeks.
Okay, what towns do you know?
We're doing Seattle at El Corazon and Portland, maybe at Dante's, I think, maybe, or something. I don't know. Man, I forget where we're playing, but all that stuff
all right,
on the Real Mackenzie's website or on my Instagram.
I'll check it out. Nice.
Yeah,
all
sounds
right,
good, brother.
Brother.
Okay, have a good one.
All right. Appreciate it.
Okay,
Kenny Lush, everyone. Man, thank you so much. And Sanga, you got anything else?
Just best of luck, Kenny Lush, and maybe we will cross paths at some point.
Yep, and you're going to have to get on it and get that book for September, like you said. It'd be nice
to
have him on there. All right, and then you just did a sign of the times.
I did, still uploading. It should be available to view in the morning. It's still uploading. It was a bit of a lengthy one.
Okay, well, who do you got next week?
Next week on Friday, we have a tag team called Grim Reality out of Detroit Next Sunday, we are taking the day off for Memorial Day, and because I will be out of town, Saturday, you can catch me at Versus Pro Wrestling, making my Versus Pro debut, and I might pop up at another show or two or three or four. Just keep an eye out for me if you're in the Las Vegas area next week.
Yep, and don't forget Strawberry Fest, June 17th, Marysville, Washington. And then Northwest Pro will be back in Key Center June 10th also.
Yes, not the 20th. No matter how many times J.D. Masson said June 20th, it is not June 20th, it's June 10th.
Yes, and then next week, the 27th, I got John and Emily on. Emily is Aaron Bolo's biggest fan. And then on June 3rd, I got the chef. Mean Mark will be on. So you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from wrestlers and celebrities from all over the world. And sign, how do they get a hold of you?
They can look me up on the Book of Faces, the Twitter, the Gram, the YouTubes, or you can go to Versus Pro Wrestling, and I'll be right there.
And can't wait to be back with you on Turnbuckle Turmoil. All right, everyone, thank you for listening, for your input, your love and support. We appreciate everything. And here is the Never Were with my walk-on song.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones. Coach Mike Jones, now scream!